Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
On today's Fantasy Baseball in 15, we'll look at the latest no-hitter and a night of homers galore.
Like death and taxes, Dodger's been a Dodger.
I have not had three cold brews yet.
It works great in a fantasy league.
I'm just glad I am not at the dentist.
Fantasy Baseball in 15 on The Athletic.
This is Fantasy Baseball in 15 for Wednesday, May 19th. I'm Al Melchior. I am here with Michael Beller. And Michael, on the previous episode, we had talked about the fact that Mike Trout had a calf injury. We didn't really have a whole lot more information. I wish it would have stayed that way, unfortunately. He could be out as long as 6 to 8 weeks with a grade 2 calf strain. So, you know, this does raise, from a fantasy perspective, some interesting questions, because whenever there's been somebody injured, particularly in the Angels outfield, you know, two names come up, Brandon Marsh and Joe Adell. And this Trout injury could keep him out long enough that when he gets back, maybe the Angels are in trade mode. And maybe, you know, if say one of those two prospects came up in the interim, there'd be a place for them to stay.
Yeah, I do think that that is something that that could end up coming to fruition for one or maybe even both of these guys find some sort of role where we're talking about them in the fantasy world. I don't know if there's a move to be made right now with respect to them. Maybe in leagues where you are a little bit deeper or have to be a little bit more aggressive on guys like that, you're taking a look at them right now. Otherwise, I do think this is still a wait-and-see spot. But at the very least, I think we should have our focus trained on what's going to happen in L.A. with Mike Trout out for 6 to 8 weeks and see who's going to get that spot, get the most time, whatever it might end up being. I think this is something that is worthy of our attention, even if we're not making an immediate move.
Yeah, no, I think that is the right perspective on this. And you know, Shohei Ohtani, he's not slowed down at all. He homered on Tuesday. He just keeps going. And it, just one of many, many homers. So while we do have a very notable pitching performance to talk about, it was also Revenge of the Bats on Tuesday. So we'll get to that a little bit later on. Some pretty good news here for Danny Duffy, certainly better than what I was expecting. He has been diagnosed with a grade 1 flexor strain. So, of course, his last start, he exited with that forearm injury. So he's going to just be shut down for 5 days and then be reevaluated. So if he was dropped in one of your leagues, like he was in one of mine, I think it's a good idea to go pick him up. And also some encouraging news for Taijuan Walker. He had an MRI on his side, which came back clean. There's still no timetable in terms of when he'll be making his next start, but certainly much better news than perhaps it could have been. So good news there. Luke Weaver going to the injured list with shoulder discomfort. Corbin Martin coming up. I think this is something that our friend and colleague Derek Van Riper was foreseeing on some recent episodes. So Corbin Martin made that start. It was an all right start against the Dodgers. I mean, especially considering the degree of difficulty with that start. Not the biggest standout performance, because we've got several others to talk about. But where are you at with Martin in terms of which leagues to add him to?
Yeah, again, another situation where I'm not going too crazy to grab him in mixers. I do think that he's someone who obviously should be on your radar in a big way in NL only. But that's really where I'm focused on grabbing him right now. And I would be, I would be trying to get him in NL only. This is someone who's going to have a line on a spot in a rotation for a while. Someone who's got a decent amount of strikeout upside, has always been more than a strikeout per inning guy in his minor league career. So I think good reason to expect that to carry over for him with the Diamondbacks this season. Not quite getting too excited about him in mixed leagues just yet.
All right. And a couple of IL moves that may not really be long-standing ones. Didi Gregorius to the injured list. Had already missed several games with his elbow injury. So that was made retroactive to May 14th. So if you were thinking maybe making a play for Nick Maton, with Gregorius being out, he may not be out all that long. Similarly, Tyler O'Neill to the injured list with a fractured finger, and he may only be out for a couple of weeks. So not necessarily the minimum time, but maybe not out for all that long. And Cody Bellinger working his way back from his hairline fracture in his left fibula. He is slated to start a rehab assignment at AAA Oklahoma City this weekend. So very good news there. Anthony Rizzo leaving Tuesday's game against the Nationals after tweaking his lower back. So he is currently day-to-day. Eliezer Hernandez, he began a rehab assignment with AAA Jacksonville on Tuesday. No timetable yet. Figure he's got to make a few starts there before rejoining the Marlins rotation. And Michael, a move that I think, you know, we probably could have seen coming here. Andrés Giménez being sent by Cleveland to the AAA Columbus affiliate. So that job is just Ahmed Rosario's at this point to just take and run with it. You know, still been kind of slow to warm up at the plate. So what's your level of interest there?
Not super high. I mean, you know, even though he's still a young guy, we saw a good amount of him with the Mets. And I think we have a good read on the sort of player that he is. The nice thing about Rosario is that with this Indians lineup shaped up the way that it is, he's going to hit toward the top of the order. I mean, I think we have good reason to believe it's going to be Cesar Hernandez, Ahmed Rosario, Jose Ramirez, Eddie Rosario, Franmil Reyes as the top five for the foreseeable future. So there is a little bit of a bump for him there. If you are shortstop needy, middle infield needy, I don't see any reason to shy away from adding Rosario. I just would have your expectations in check.
And that, you know, that batting order position and playing time, I mean, that matters a lot, yeah, because, sure, as I've mentioned several times, it's not always easy to fill that middle infield slot. So sometimes that's reason enough to go after somebody. A couple of perhaps looming activations from the COVID-19 IL, Fernando Tatis and Gleyber Torres, they could be back on Wednesday. So definitely keep your eyes on those situations in your daily lineup leagues. Gabe Kapler making a statement in a piece on MLB.com that I found very interesting. Somebody that was kind of off my radar, Tyler Beede, coming back from Tommy John surgery. Kapler says that he sees Beede as a starter when he's ready to return. There isn't a clear timetable yet, although it would appear to be sometime this season that we'll see Beede back. So even with the surprising depth that the Giants have found with their starting rotation, when Beede comes back, it's not going to be apparently as a reliever. So, you know, when I read this piece, I checked all my really deep leagues, my dynasty leagues, to see if he was out there. He wasn't, but still a move I would recommend. And in closer news, Rafael Dolis, he was activated from the injured list and presumably just retaking the closer's job in Toronto, although it sort of remains to be seen how that's going to play out. And also Jake McGee getting a save for the Giants on Tuesday. So he is still very much in that mix along with Tyler Rogers for those who are paying close attention to that situation.
Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business, take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
Let's get to I think the big news is Mike Trout, but after that, I think that the next big item here is another no-hitter this season, the fifth one, Spencer Turnbull for the Tigers at the Mariners. The Mariners getting no hit.
The Mariners.
And, you know, we talked about this, right? We talked about that this could be a good pitcher's duel, Turnbull and Justin Dunn. We'll talk about Dunn, too. But Turnbull with the nine-inning, no-hitter, nine strikeouts, two walks, the only blemishes. And then Justin Dunn on the other side of things, only 5 2/3. But, you know, I did note that the Tigers are not a very selective group of hitters. And only two walks in those 5 2/3 innings for Justin Dunn, which, you know, for him is definitely an upgrade, and nine big strikeouts. So maybe you can pick your spots with Justin Dunn.
Yeah, I think that's the thing we take from this. Spencer Turnbull, you know, we already knew that, maybe we're not expecting that sort of performance, but a guy who we know there's plenty of spots where you can trust him. Justin Dunn showing us that that could be true for him as well.
Yep, yep. So, and then another matchup that we highlighted on the previous episode, Blake Snell versus Austin Gomber. That one also turned out to be a really nice pitcher's duel. Snell getting a really, really favorable matchup against the Rockies on the road. And not only that, but Rockies coming from, an environment at home and then going to San Diego where, you know, big, big difference in atmosphere and air density and all those sorts of things. So Blake Snell performing very well, 11 strikeouts for him, and Gomber, nice matchup for him, and it worked out. Luis Castillo, I think this one's probably even much more of interest to folks listening because we've been waiting for him to have the big outing, and against the Giants, he delivered. 5 innings, 11 strikeouts, just 3 runs allowed on 6 hits and 3 walks. Do you feel good about keeping Castillo in your rotation, or is this still kind of step by step, start by start?
I think it's still step by step. I mean, the 11 Ks are obviously great. You don't need me to tell you that, but 6 hits and 3 walks in 5 innings. I mean, he was still getting knocked around. The 3 walks in 5 innings still gives you pause about his control. So I feel good enough about the 11 Ks, and you know, I'm Mr. Start Everybody when they take the mound, but I don't know. I still think this is a step-by-step, day-by-day sort of situation, not just because it was a great 90s childhood sitcom, but just because this is something that we just can't fully say, yes, Castillo's back. It wasn't a performance totally without blemishes.
True enough. A couple of other pitchers that we talked about as potential streamers and also entering their rotations, Chris Bubich for the Royals, Tucker Davidson for the Braves, both with good starts, especially Bubich, just 1 hit over 6 scoreless innings for him. So really not too many blemishes there, although just 4 strikeouts for Bubich against the Brewers. Davidson going 6 solid innings, 3 runs, so gets the quality start. 5 Ks, 1 walk against the Mets. And again, maybe you chalk that up a bit to a depleted lineup and a favorable matchup. But how do you feel about Bubich and Davidson going forward?
Man, your dog just loves us for bringing these guys up yesterday, really wanting to pat you on the back. That's a good supportive dog. You got to love that. I think that the more interesting guy to look at is Davidson, just because we sort of know what we're getting with Bubich. We know that there are spots where we can trust him. We know there's other spots where we want to stay away. And he did that again yesterday, right? A Brewers lineup that did get Christian Yelich back, but still not one that's striking the fear of God into us just yet. So, yeah, good for him for having a good start there. Tucker Davidson, though, we thought this was going to be a nice landing spot for his first career outing. We thought it could be with that depleted Mets lineup. So we do have to take that into account when we are thinking about him for his next start as a potential streamer. At the very least, he kept himself on the radar for his next start as a potential streamer, and for an Atlanta rotation that is ravaged by injury, kept him on the radar to maybe lock down a spot while they remain ravaged by injuries. Someone we should definitely be keeping an eye on over the next couple of weeks to see what he's got when he maybe has to step up against a tougher offense.
All right, and it still remains to be seen, too, how long these two pitchers stay in their respective rotations, so something to watch there. And as I mentioned earlier, revenge of the bats on Tuesday, 3 hitters with multiple homer games, Miguel Sano with 3 homers, doubling his total for the year, doing so against the White Sox, and then Ramon Laureano and Mike Zunino with a pair of homers in their games, and both now up to 10 homers each. With Laureano, it's nice to see, maybe not the biggest surprise. Zunino, I mean, if you figure if you're going to get something from him, it's going to be home run power. But is that enough for him in two catcher leagues?
I think so. He's got 10 homers. I mean, what more do you want from someone in two catcher leagues? He's got 10 homers. If he's going to give you 10 homers, even if he's going to hit, you know, 190 and the 230 OBP, I mean, you'll take what you can get in a two catcher league, and you're getting that much power production, I think absolutely that's worth it.
All right. Well, kind of a thin crop of streamers for Wednesday, but a couple of games that pose good matchups for both pitchers. Red Sox and the Blue Jays. We got Garrett Richards and Ross Stripling, and then we got another Tigers Mariners matchup here, Tarek Skubal and Logan Gilbert. So of these four, who do you like streaming on Wednesday?
It's hard to get away from that Tigers Mariners matchup, right? You just sort of get on either side of it. Give me Logan Gilbert. The ceiling, the matchup, he's the guy I like best.
All right, and then it is time for our Wednesday Prospect Spotlight. I've chosen three fast starters here and also prospects who do have some pedigree as well. Alec Thomas, the outfielder, outfield prospect for the Diamondbacks, who's currently AA. Josh Lowe, one of the many Lowe's slash Lows that have come up recently through the Rays system. He's AAA Durham. And Hunter Green, who... I think it's probably exaggeration to say that he's, you know, fallen off the radar after Tommy John surgery, but certainly not holding quite the same profile, but off to a tremendous start at Double A. So how are you viewing these three? Anybody that you think will have an impact this year, or are we thinking, you know, maybe more 2022?
I think Lowe probably has an impact at some point this year, but the one who I'm most excited about is Hunter Green, just because of that pedigree, the ceiling that he had, the fact that he's been on our radar for so long. It's hard to remember that he's still just 21 years old, turns 22 in August. So I think all of that, combined with the fact that he has gotten off to this hot start, has me very excited that potentially he's back to being the sort of guy we thought he could be before Tommy John. So he's someone who I'm going to be watching very closely in terms of the sort of impact he can make once he does arrive in the majors.
All right. Well, yeah, good starts for all three. And hopefully it's a good finish here, because that's going to be it for this episode of Fantasy Baseball in 15. And we just would ask that if you do have a moment to rate and review this podcast, that you take a moment to do that. And we thank you for it. So for Michael Beller, I'm Al Melchior, and we'll be right back here on Thursday.